You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, where we'll be looking ahead to the action at Chelmsford, Taunton and Kempton. We'll be previewing races from all three meetings on this edition, and you'll hear every race live, of course, from 1:15pm in the Racing Radio studio in the company of Gary Capewell, Craig Forsyth and Rory Delaghi. They'll be guiding you through all of the action. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to four races on Wednesday and a little spin through the racing news as well. I'm delighted to say is Lord John Budden. How are you, Your Lordship?
I'm pretty well, Samuel. I'm in a rut as far as Knapp's election is concerned. Lost confidence, that's the problem, Sam, but no doubt it'll turn.
Have you been chasing the big prices, John, or are you just trying to put in some shorties and just stop the rut?
No, I've been chasing bigger prices and failing entirely. So now, of course, I'll have to go for the shorties and they'll all be turned over.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a marathon, not a sprint. There's plenty of time, John.
Yeah, there is plenty of time, but I have rather lost ground in the table because I was actually doing quite well. I put it partially down to the defeat of Simply Ned in yes. Ireland, but also, of course, there hasn't been very much racing in the north over the past 10 days, which has made a bit difficult.
Yeah, you're a little bit restricted with where you can nap, aren't you, with the weather playing absolute havoc, really. But it's getting a little bit more colder and drier now, John.
Yeah, hopefully it won't freeze too hard and the jump fixtures will go ahead at the weekend.
Yes, absolutely. We'll start with a little bit of the news, John. This broke yesterday. This news regarding Ascot. They've added an extra £1 million in prize money to the Royal Meeting. It's already a real showpiece event. I mean, more eyes are on this than any other meeting worldwide almost, John, and an extra boost to the races, particularly the Queen Anne and the Prince of Wales receiving that extra money. Keeps it on top of the shop, really, doesn't it?
Yes, it does that, Sam. You're absolutely right. It keeps Ascot on top of the shop and it shows that they are prepared to, you know, increase the prize money. But the burning question is really, do they need it?
Yeah.
And by that I mean, do the owners of the horses who win these prestigious races really need the extra prize money? I am of the opinion they don't. I feel that many of them are going to turn a tremendous penny either in the paddocks or as stallion owners, and the extra sort of whatever it may be, £250,000 or £300,000 for winning the race at Ascot won't make a lot of difference. I actually am a follower of the theory that prize money should be spread more evenly over the racing industry and not given to a meeting which is already top quality and, quite frankly, the extra million, although it's jolly nice, will not make all that much difference. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, we'll get on to the Leicester tracks in just a second, John. I suppose Ascot's argument would be this money is coming from Ascot. It's not coming from the levy. So it's not, I mean, they might argue it's not really their responsibility to support the lesser races. And they might argue that the increase in prize money might attract more international horses. Then you might get more chance of someone bringing a horse from Japan or Hong Kong, where the prize money is already terrific. And they might argue that this is Ascot's money putting it back into Ascot. It's not come from the levy. So should it be their responsibility to ensure that it trickles down?
No, you're dead right, Sam, to point that out. And that is absolutely pertinent. Well done to Ascot for digging into their own wallet and producing the cash. And indeed, it could attract horses from abroad. There's still quite a number who come to Ascot anyhow. But, you know, the extra million might well do that. And, that's tremendous ambassadorial work. And Ascot must not be blamed in any way for this increase in prize money. But as a general policy, I would actually like to see increased prize money spread more evenly rather than just given to the big meetings. But as you say, it's not the levy board giving the money, it is Ascot themselves. So well done to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple of tracks lower down the pecking order that do incredibly well, John. Chelmsford, since they've reopened, they pledged that they'd be putting up good prize money for, you know, sometimes the lesser races, your Class 4, your Class 5, your Class 6 races. They've done tremendously well. Ludlow are another track who continually reinvest. We had a 100 grand card there just a few weeks ago. So that is an example and a model that other tracks could look to. It's not impossible.
No, it's not
tracks
impossible.
Tracks to put the good prize money on.
Absolutely correct, Sam. And it's not impossible. And I just wish that more race courses would, in fact, follow that particular policy. Well done to Chelmsford. Ludlow very much on the up. I think we have to mention Musselburgh in this contest as well. I mean, over the past sort of 3 or 4 years, Musselburgh have provided some very valuable races, both on the flat and over the jumps. And there are, as you say, race courses who are providing good prize money out of their own pocket. There are one or two who are not doing that.
Yeah.
And I would like to see prize money actually, almost forcibly increased from those race courses who are dragging their feet.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's a very fair point there. Certainly, food for thought regarding prize money. We could be here all day discussing prize money, John. We'll move on a little bit just to discuss one of the feature races coming up in January. This is, of course, the Clarence House Chase at Ascot, a Grade 1. We now know, John, that Sprinter Sacra looks unlikely to take his place in the lineup. He's all but been ruled out, but it still leaves Under So's likely to be about even money favourite for this. Side of Grugy in there at 6-4, Vibrato Valtat, Simply Ned, who we won't dwell on too much, John, painful memories, but still looks like it could be a very good renewal of the Clarence House.
It could be a very good renewal, and I hope it will be so, with the surviving members actually standing their ground, because I do think it is important, Sam, to realise that although the Cheltenham Festival is absolutely tremendous, it is not the be-all and end-all. There are very good races running up to Cheltenham in their own rights, and the Clarence House is one of them. I can, on the other hand, understand the Henderson move to keep Sprinter Sacre fresh for Cheltenham. Obviously, that is their big aim. They've done tremendously well, Nicky and the team, to get Sprinter Sacre back to winning form. I think Cheltenham is very much his venue rather than Ascot. It will, of course, be very interesting when this race actually is run, if Earn de Sceaux remains in the race, whether he jumps those fences really well and wins. I think Ascot's a pretty tricky course to jump, and Earn de Sceaux does put in the odd, really serious error. If he does it at Ascot, he could well come down.
Yeah, it's very much a do or die action that Earn de Sceaux has, hasn't it? I mean, it's really cutthroat. And of course, William Mullins has got Felix Younger entered up as well, so he's never short of a runner or two.
He's never short of talent. Lovely horse, Felix Younger. I like him, but of course I shall be shouting for Simply Ned at the time.
Yeah, will you be napping him if he stands his ground at the Clarence House, John?
I don't know. I probably ought to, but I just have that awful feeling in the back of my mind that Leopardstown was the opportunity, as it turned out, for Simply Ned to win his Grade 1, and he just failed to last home, and, you know, I fear he may have blown it.
OK, then. Yeah, certainly looking forward to that. A superb race in prospects. That's the Clarence House, 23rd of January for that one. We'll move on now, though, John, to take a look at matters closer to hand. It's Wednesday's racing now. We've got Chelmsford and Taunton in the afternoon, Kempton Park in the evening. We'll be previewing a little bit of action from all three meetings. We've got two at Taunton, one at Chelmsford, and one at Kempton to preview. We start with the Taunton race, though. This is the 240, a handicap chase here over 2.7 miles. We've got eight runners declared for this Class 3 at the time of recording, and the weight's headed by Issa Dejon. A lot was thought of this horse, but as disappointed in graded company, really.
Yes, has of course been very highly tried. This is the obvious opportunity for Easter Day to actually get back on the winning trail. Paul Nicholls, as you say, has always thought quite a lot of Easter Day, but somehow or other, up till now, this hasn't been produced. The confidence has not been justified. Quite a number of pulls up and a pretty sort of moderate display at Newbury last time out. However, it was a very good race. There are others in the contest who must have a chance. I think the bottom, Paddy the Oscar, is running well. He won at Warwick last time out, beating Incentivize. Not a great race, but he's in form. He hasn't got a great deal of weight, and he jumps well. The one I should go for, though, is the David Pipe-trained Top Wood, who I think is nicely treated in the handicap and hinted at a possible return to winning form when second to Tour de Champs last time out, and that form is pretty sound. So with a little bit of a question mark about Easter Day, I'll go for Top Wood.
Top Wood then getting the pick for John for the combination of David Pipe and Tom Scudamore. We stay at Taunton for our next race. This is a handicap hurdle over 2.3 miles. This is the 3.10. We've got 10 runners down for this Class 3. And again, we're looking towards the top of the weights for the likely favourite here. John pulled the cord for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson, won the race last year and has won on his seasonal reappearance since.
Yeah, I think it'll be a very short price. But I'm going to go for Pull the Cord because he's the obvious choice. Absolutely romped home at Exeter last time out by four lengths. It could have been double or treble the amount. Goes on the ground. And one of the reasons I want to go for Pull the Cord is, of course, he's trained by Philip Hobbs with Richard Johnson in the saddle. We know all about Richard Johnson absolutely running away with the jockey's title. Well done to him. But I think we want to point out fairly clearly that Philip Hobbs is doing remarkably well in the trainer's title race. He is less or so of £100,000 behind the current champion Paul Nicholls, and he's got one or two really quite good opportunities to produce some good prize money in the next week. And it's not a great race as far as money is concerned, but it just, if Pull the Cord wins as he ought to do so, it's another just a little step up for Philip Hobbs to, you know, sustain the challenge. It would be great to see him back as champion trainer. He's a lovely man and has some very good horses.
Yeah, absolutely. Pull the Cord then getting the vote for John in the 3.10 at Taunton. We'll go over to Chelmsford now then for the next race on today's podcast. This is there at 2.55. We've got a handicap here over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. Eight runners line up for this Class 4 event. And as we mentioned earlier, John, some decent prize money on offer at Chelmsford.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, Sam, because I was going to do so. 12,500, I think, is the value of this race. A Class 4 contest and one or two other race courses with Class 4 handicaps should take a leaf out of Chelmsford's book. Interesting little race. Stuart Williams, whose horses are running reasonably well at the moment, knocking at the door, most of them, has got two in this race. A recent winner, Oakley Girl, but the one I'm interested in is Pactolus, who I thought ran extremely promisingly last time out. He finished fourth, but was only beaten 1 3/4 lengths. It was in a competitive handicap, won by Godolphin's Power Game, and I thought Pactolus is definitely the best of the Stuart Williams pair. But for the selection, I'm going north. David O'Meara has got Berluska in this contest, and I thought Berluska's form was very sound. Pat Cosgrave was in the saddle last time out at Wolverhampton, where Berluska beat a horse of Godolphin's, quite a decent horse called Monine or Monine. I think that's fair form, and I think Berluska has got a great chance of following up at Chelmsford here, that Wolverhampton win.
Berluska for John then in the 2.55 at Chelmsford. We'll go over to Kempton then for the final race on today's podcast. This is their 6.10. We've got a 6 furlong condition stakes here. It's a Class 2 event over six runners. These condition stakes, John, always attract a useful field.
Yes, they do. And some of them actually, you know, are cut up and only produce two or three, which is a pity. But this one hasn't. Note also prize money, well earned Kempton.
Yep.
19 grand, in fact, on offer for this particular race. Three horses really stand out for me in this contest. And I was bemoaning the fact that there weren't very many northern horses to nap over the past week. Well, we've got two of them in this contest, and I'm going to go for Alban Starr. KP will be shivering in his shoes because he always tells me that Richard Fahey has a very bad strike rate at Kempton.
Right.
It's not the greatest, I will agree with that, but his all-weather horses are going extremely well, Richard Fahey, at the moment. Jack Garrity is riding Alban Starr. I want Jack to have a really good year in his first season as a fully-fledged jockey. He's having a fairly quiet winter. This is a good opportunity to get a decent prize on the scoreboard for him. Alban Starr, very consistent, last seen out in the Beverly Bullet, finished fourth on that occasion behind Marac. I think he'll go pretty well when fresh. The other northern horse, of course, is Chucky Royale, who is immensely consistent for Keith Dalglish. Runs as well as at Kempton as he does at Wolverhampton. Was a good winner at Wolverhampton last time out. Beat Sir Maximilian, who's actually in this field here at Kempton. But Chucky Royale runs Kempton as well as Wolverhampton. I think he'll go pretty well again. Grand old horse. And then we've got Intransigent, representing Andrew Balding and Jamie Spencer. And I just have a feeling that this horse is a little bit better than he showed when fifth at Chelmsford behind Cold as Ice. Could go rather well and upset the northern pair, but hopefully no. I shall go for Alban Starr.
Alban Starr then for John. Richard Fahey and Jack Garrity teaming up on that one. Just remind us, please, one more time, then your four selections for the action on Wednesday, please.
Well, at Taunton, the 240, the Bathwick Tires Chase, we go for Top Wood. In the 310 at Taunton, Pull the Cord for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson. Will be short, but I hope we'll win comfortably. Back in Time, 255 at Chelmsford, David O'Meara's Berluska, and finishing off the four at Kempton in the 610. Richard Fahey's Alban Starr.
Thank you very much, John, and enjoy the action tomorrow.
Thank you, Sam.
Remember to join us here on Racing Radio on Wednesday, the 13th of January, from 1:15 p.m. with Gary Capewell, Craig Forsyth and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We've got Chelmsford and Taunton in the afternoon, and then it's Kempton Park in the evening. So make sure you join the guys for all of that from 1:15. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.